From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 17th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. In agricultural news, the Federal Reserve says the economy is growing at a modest pace. The World Bank thinks the 2013-14 growth will be slower than expected across Eastern and Western Europe. And the United States Department of Agriculture has started a microloan program. Dave Dickey will have all the details shortly. As we close out a program today, of course, we'll talk with Pete Levitt about the agricultural weather forecast. And just prior to that, Matt Bennett from TGM will join us to take a look at the agricultural cash grain markets. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural market reports on WILL are made possible with support from Busey. Small business is the next big business, so Busey offers solutions to fit growing business needs, from customizable lending options to succession planning. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on a Thursday afternoon. Futures from the soft red winter wheat pit were lower on the day. A settlement price in the March at $7.81 and a quarter, down 3 3/4. July futures at $7.95 and a quarter, 2 cents lower on the afternoon. The hard red in Kansas City settled $8.50 and 3/4. That's actually a last trade. It was 8 1/2 cents lower as it closed. Back in the corn pit from Chicago, and these are closes and not settlement prices. March futures at $7.24, down 7 1/4 on the last trade. May futures 7.24 1/2, 6 3/4 lower. And July corn at 7.17 1/4, down 4 cents. December of next year, $5.87 1/4, a nickel lower. The March of 2014 at $5.96, down 6 1/4. March soybean futures in Chicago, settlement price $14.30 1/4, down 6 1/4. May futures settled 6 1/2 lower at $14.14 3/4, and July beans at $14.06 a bushel, down 6 3/4. August 17 rather 13.79 1/2, down 6 1/2, and November beans at $12.85 1/4, down 11 3/4. January contract of next year at $12.91 1/2, a settlement price down 11 3/4. Bean meal at $4.14, down $5.10. Bean oil at $51.49, up 18 cents on the afternoon. February live cattle at $126.60, up $1.92 1/2. April's up $1.82 1/2 at $1.3087 1/2. January feeders at $144.40, down $2.67 1/2. The March off $2.37 1/2, and lean hog settled at $88.07 1/2 in the April, up 65 cents. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures trading the February contract at $95.33 a barrel, $1.09 higher. The RBOB or wholesale price of gasoline at $2.76 7/10. That's up 4 6/10 for the day. Ethanol and the lead option at $2.33 9/10, 0.4 cents lower. And the difference between the two is 42 8/10 cents. That's positive for the use of ethanol in the gasoline supply. And the spread is 5 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas in the February contract at $3.48 3/10, up 4 8/10. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $3.08 1/10, 1 9/10 higher for the afternoon. Gold futures settled $7.60 higher at $1,690.80 an ounce. And the U.S. dollar, now trading 79.65, is down 0.15 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area today. It's calling for sunny skies, a high of 33 degrees this afternoon on a northwest wind at 13 to 16 miles an hour, gusting all the way to 24. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low of 19. Tomorrow, mostly sunny for a Friday, a high of 42 degrees. Should be breezy with a south-southwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. That'll increase to 19 to 24 by mid-afternoon. Winds could gust as high as 36 tomorrow. And then on Friday evening, mostly clear, a low of 30. It'll be breezy. The winds will turn to the south-southwest at 17 to 22. And by Saturday, sunny skies and a high of 46 degrees. Breezy outside. Winds at 17 to 25, gusting all the way to 38 miles an hour. Saturday night, partly cloudy and a low of 17. On Sunday, sunny skies and a high near 24. More on the weather forecast as we get closer to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
This is the closing market report. It is the 17th day of January 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line with us from CGB in Mandeville, Louisiana, is Dan Zwicker for a Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
Hey, no, well, actually, you're not in Mandeville at the moment. Somewhere, I suppose, on Interstate 10, hopefully pulled over to the side of the road.
off the road, but I am on I-10 just outside of Lake Charles.
And you're headed for home in Texas.
Yes, I am for a long weekend.
Well, I hope you have a good weekend. That tells us, of course, that Monday the trade will not be open. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day and a holiday in the trade. But we need to talk about what's been happening since USDA's reports last Friday and how you viewed those and what they did to the marketplace in terms of the charts. What did you see?
Well, of course, the big news out of the report was the implied feed disappearance number on the corn balance sheet. So that kind of set the stages for a big run-up there on Friday. And that basically followed through the whole week here. We had a good day up on Monday, and then soybeans kind of caught the uplift. So all three commodities have been basically, you know, that's been a key driving force, which showed, you know, a very strong feed usage disappearance number. And even though USDA was able to take a couple hundred million out of exports and 50 million out of ending stocks and I think 50 million out of something else to increase feed usage 300, the implied number says that maybe overall feed usage could be up another 200 to 300 now. That's all implied. That December 1 stocks number could be off 100 or 200 million, I think, pretty easy. And then, you know, we'll get verification of a stronger feed usage number or negated anyway, maybe on the March report. But until then, the trade has to wrestle with this idea that the corn market has to move to a level to get somebody to blink on the usage side.
A level that we're at this point in the nearby options at 724.5, or does it need to go higher in your opinion?
Well, you saw that the ethanol grind backed off quite a bit last week, so the ethanol people are under pressure. They have very poor margins, if not negative, depending upon their efficiency. So we are seeing some rationing maybe take place in ethanol. It's going to be real difficult, I think, to see it happen in the livestock sector, but we'll see how high corn goes. Initially, I think, you know, corn has a strong tendency to retrace 50% of its previous move. If you take 50% of the decline that we had off of our late summer, early fall high down to this early January low, a return of 50% would take us back to the 760 area. So I guess from a technical perspective, I think that's what a lot of your chart people are probably going to play for, is a move in March corn futures back to this 750, 760 area, and then we'll see at that point in time whether or not we need to go higher.
Will that take us through most of the month of February, you think?
Well, that could very well. I mean, I think from a cyclical point of view, the market should be good into middle February. Maybe it could go on into March. Unfortunately, new crop yeast may not come along with it.
That was my next question.
there's no doubt that yeast is going to go in the total opposite direction. It could lift yeast corn futures maybe up above the $6 mark. I think in order to go much above that, you're going to have to change the perception of what new crop prospects could be. And, you know, at the moment, everybody's looking for a big corn acre planting, 99 million or so. Now, it's all debatable about what the yield potential is. Even if you use something around 157, it does produce a pretty big crop if we have favorable weather. But we've seen good crops turn sour before. So, but I do think that as long as it's perceived that we're going to raise a big crop next year, new crop corn is going to probably struggle, at least in this atmosphere.
A struggle, but do you think that the market will try to hold it long enough to ensure that plantings happen and crop insurance puts farmers' minds at ease?
I'm hoping, I guess I think it could hold together, you know, in this 580 to 610 range, I suppose. I don't know if I'd want to expect a whole lot more than that at this point. A lot of it, I think, will depend, too, upon what happens in the South America crop over the next couple of weeks. Everybody's kind of focused on the dryness in Argentina for the next 7 to 10 days. Some of your longer-range models are wanting to break up the ridge after the 10-day window. If South America would turn real favorable, they would get some real good rains in there. That could pressure new crop November soybean futures sharply lower, and that might take corn with it. So, but I think at the moment, though, when I look at it from a cyclical and a technical perspective, I think there's some room in here for the market to try to run for a month or so, maybe into March, early spring. But I am in the opinion that whatever kind of strength that we do get in here between now and whatever point that date is probably selling opportunities, because I do think that the market is real vulnerable to some downside pressure as we go on into the summer months.
Honestly, Dan, the cynic in me tells me if I'm an end user that bidding up for all new crop is probably a good deal, because most producers wouldn't make a sale or that many sales up front. And if we produce a really big crop, I just ensured that the acreage will be there and I could buy it at a lower price.
Oh, I think so. but I don't know how much lower. I mean, you know, we're always speculating, and I think the weather pattern is such that it wouldn't surprise me to have another dry year. I went back and reviewed some of my long-term weather cycles, the 100-year cycle and the 500-year cycle, and it wouldn't surprise me when you take into account the active sunspot activity that we have going on here in 2013, that we could be in for another warm and dry summer. It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be us here in the Eastern Corn Belt. Maybe it's going to be the Western Corn Belt's turn, because that seems to be where the dryness is right now. So I would not rule out summer weather problems, even though it's kind of hard to bet on, you know, 3 years in a row.
Dan, you have a safe trip to Waco. Say hello to Teresa for me, and we'll talk with you again next Thursday.
Very well.
That's Dan Zwicker. He's with CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/FarmerView.
Well, your Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey, will be here in a moment to take a look at the agricultural news for the afternoon. I know he told you yesterday that we had finished signing up for the Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. The folks in advancement tell me there's a bit more room. Not much, because we already have 74 in that room. But if you didn't get signed up and want to, you can call this number, 217-333-9355. That's 217-333-9355.
In agricultural news, the Federal Reserve today says that the economy grew across all regions at a modest or moderate pace since November. The report portrayed an economy plodding ahead mainly thanks to consumers, with housing and auto sales continuing to advance. It also suggested that holiday spending was moderately higher than during the previous year. The Fed's information was prepared by the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia based on information gathered before January 4th and will be used for discussions at the Fed's next policy meeting on January 29th and 30th. The World Bank slashed its 2013 growth forecast for a group of 11 emerging European countries to 1.3% from 2.5% as deeper economic woes in the Eurozone and especially in Germany weighed heavier on the region. Forecasts for Poland, Hungary, and Romania were among those cut the most. USDA has announced a new microloan program targeted at startup farm operations. The new program will offer loans up to $35,000 for up to 7 years and currently carry an interest rate of 4.9%. Instead of requiring the normal 17 forms of FSA paperwork, microloans require only 8. The International Grains Council today raised its estimates for world wheat and corn production in 2012-13, with total grain output now expected to be down 4% on the year. The IGC raised its world wheat production estimate by 2 million tons to 656 million due to better prospects in Australia, Canada, China, and the European Union. The IGC also raised its global corn output estimate by 15 million tons to 845 million due to official upward revisions for China and the U.S., as well as brighter prospects for Argentina. The Italian Stock Exchange has unveiled Europe's first durum wheat futures market, aimed at providing pasta makers with a way to stabilize their raw material purchases. The new futures market will be based in Milan and will start trading next Monday. The only other futures market for durum wheat is in Winnipeg, Canada. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I know yesterday he told you it was the last day to sign up for our Voices of Illinois Agriculture event. In fact, we have 74 in the room, and there's only space for about 100, but that would be really packed. I was aiming for 80 and had scaled back to about 60 as my thought process went in through here. But it looks like we'll have a bit more room, and if you didn't get signed up, still can. If you go to our website at willag.org, you'll see a video I produced there, and underneath it, it says Read More. If you do that, you'll find all the links for Voices of Illinois Agriculture and a way to sign up online, or you can just dial this number. It's 217-333-9355. That's 217-333-9355, Voices of Illinois Agriculture. It's not this Friday, but the following one, the 25th of January. Orion will be there. You'll get a copy of his book. He'll sign it, of course. And Jackie Vakes, Paul Cooley, Wayne Nelson, Gary Schnitke, and Steve Freed will all be on hand for our Ag Outlook panel. It's a $100 bill, but I'm sure we'll have a great deal of fun. Again, the number to call, 333-9355. Up next, you know, last week, USDA suggested the average cash price of corn will remain as it has for the last several months, going so far as to suggest prices may be strong right through midsummer. I spoke with University of Illinois Ag economist Darrell Good about that estimate, and as you'll hear, Good is less optimistic about the season's average cash price for corn.
They did not change it, and I think it's probably too high at this point. We, through the first 4 months of the marketing year, we've averaged at less than $7 a bushel. So to average the midpoint of their projection of $7.40 for the year means that we have to see substantial strength in old crop corn prices going forward, with probably well more than half of the crop already sold. So I don't see any way we average $7.40 for the year. I think $7 is probably what we're going to average. And as we get into the summer, yes, old crop stocks are going to be tight, but my guess is we're going to be staring at a very large 2013 harvest by then, and that's probably going to override to some extent the tightness in old crop stocks, and we'll start seeing some weakness in corn prices come June, July.
Do you
suggest that this should hold the price of old crop corn, maybe new crop corn, at much higher levels through the February crop insurance setting month, and that will be one of the reasons that the planters roll in the fields once we get to the spring for corn planting?
Yes, I'm not convinced the new crop corn is going to see much strength. We didn't see any follow-through in this report, and there's no reason it would, that there's no new information relative to new crop at this point. I think there's some risk that new crop corn prices continue to lose ground to old crop. Yes, I think the spring insurance price guarantee is going to be probably at least as high as it was last year at $5.68. We're well above that right at the moment. Will that be enough to increase corn acres? I don't think so. I think what we saw in today's report, USDA did raise planted acres numbers for last year a bit. I think we'll do well to hold those numbers. And frankly, I don't think we need any more corn acres for next year. We're probably going to be looking at a huge surplus of corn by fall of the year and much lower corn prices. And an increase in acreage, I think, would add to that downward movement in prices.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the closing market report. On the phone line to take a look at the cash grain market, Matt Bennett from TGM out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers much concerned about the marketplace at this time or just waiting it out?
Well, you know, it's been a nice little ride here recently, several days in a row up market for the corn. I think they were wondering what was wrong, actually, you know, because we've just had a pretty rough ride here lately. Today they came in, saw a little bit of red, but wasn't real drastic, so I don't think anybody's too awfully concerned. I think, actually, they've been a little inspired by the recent rally.
Inspired, but inspired enough to make new sales for both or either old or new crop?
Of course not, Todd.
Naturally.
You know, we get back up over 14, 14 and a half, and then we're talking 15. But, you know, a lot of guys are sitting on small percentages. You know, there's not a lot of huge percentages on several of the guys we're dealing with. So on their gambling bushels, I think they, you know, prefer to let it ride a little bit.
Yeah, on gambling bushels, okay to ride it right through the late June time frame? Will that be when we get a big uptick maybe?
Well, it'll be interesting. In my opinion, you know, I've been saying to several guys, you know, for instance, on corn, if we would get to $8 cash, I could see as much of that being basis as futures from here on forward. Mm-hmm. I think that there will be a really big basis push, especially regionally. And I think with beans, the same thing could be said because we're going to be awfully tight on both.
And as you look forward, which one is likely to be the most tight and for what reason?
Well, I think relatively speaking, the tightest thing we're going to be looking at really is just quality corn. I think there's going to be some areas that are going to have a hard time finding it. There's going to be some areas that are going to have a lot of corn available, but maybe it's not going to quite be the bushels that they want. And so, you know, I think that the basis on quality corn, you know, could end up a buck or, you know, even $2 over the board.
Hey, how do you define quality corn at this point? Is that 200?
I'm going to say anything under the lower margins, you know, so it could go anywhere. So anything under 20, I think that's going to be hard to find bushels like that. There'll be few and far between.
Under 20 might be really hard to find,
yes.
I would suppose.
They're out there, but I think they're going to be scarce.
And your bids?
Cash corn, 730, fall at 561. Cash beans, 1445, and fall, 1255.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That is Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois. He joins us on the closing market report. Back in 2 minutes with the Ag Weather Forecast.
It's National Hot Buttered Rum Day. It's also St. Anthony the Abbot Day, patron saint of pigs and butchers. On this day in agricultural history in 1706, Benjamin Franklin was born. An American diplomat, publisher, and inventor, he helped establish numerous institutions that live on to this day, including the fire department, libraries, insurance companies, academies for study, and hospitals. He also published the Poor Richard's Almanac, which included a mixture of seasonal weather forecasts, practical household hints, and puzzles. In 1890, Peter Henderson died, a Scottish-American scientist. He was known as the father of American horticulture. He learned methods of gardening in the Old World, then immigrated to the U.S. in 1843, where he eventually published Gardening for Profit and Gardening for Pleasure. And he also began a seed company. By the way, his greenhouses were models that were widely copied in his day. In 1911, Sir Francis Galton died, an English scientist. He was responsible in April of 1875 for publishing the first newspaper weather map in the Times. And in 2001, Norway lifted a ban on exports of whale meat. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Auditory Care Center, an independent hearing care center serving Champaign, Piatt, Ford, Vermilion, and other East Central Illinois counties. Auditory Care Center offers hearing evaluations as well as selection, fitting, and repair of hearing aids at 892-5959 in Rantoul.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. Pete Labatt, agricultural meteorologist, on the phone line. Good afternoon to you, Pete. It's the third Thursday of the month, and that means you have some weather information from the National Weather Service to report to us. What do you see?
Well, their 30-day forecast is calling for below normal temperatures in the upper Midwest, the north central states, actually. It takes it from Montana, eastward across the Dakotas, Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Michigan. Those areas below normal for the month of February. And then for above normal temperatures, we have a shift in the pattern in the southwest where it's been so cold this past week. They're going for above normal temperatures, California, Arizona, New Mexico, western Texas. So those areas showing a shift and a slight eastward shift in the cold in the upper Midwest. The 90-day forecast, if we extend that another 2 months, has the cold temperatures running from the Pacific Northwest along the northern tier of states into the Dakotas, but has backed them off of the upper Midwest. They have the temperatures there about normal. They still have above normal temperatures, though, for the southwest and the south. Western Texas, New Mexico, western Oklahoma, above normal. And they also bring above normal temperatures into the northeast for the latter half of that 90-day period. That would be in March and April. So that's the extended outlook, and it's a sort of benign pattern for precipitation, well, for temperatures. The coldness coming early and then releasing a little bit, but drought continues to be the main problem for the Great Plains states. There is no forecast of relief from drought. We look at the precipitation forecast for the 30 to 90 day period, and we have above normal precipitation forecast for the upper Midwest, Wisconsin, northern Illinois, Indiana. But we have below normal precipitation forecast for the southern plains, and that's signs that this very dry condition that's persisted most of the winter will continue. And we continue to think that that's nothing to be ignored.
Do your years of experience tell you that the southwest, if it's dry, in these current environmental conditions might spread into the Midwest as the growing season were to come about?
I would say there's a slightly positive correlation, but not really a very good one.
Okay.
Because moisture starts to open up from the Gulf of Mexico as we move into spring, and that can get some of that moisture back. The problem is that the potential for yield has been hurt already, that 50% of yields in winter wheat are dependent on what's happened before the crop reemerges.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us. We do appreciate it.
My pleasure.
That is agricultural meteorologist Pete Levitt. Wraps up this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. You have a great afternoon. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.